Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call,
another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
And good morning. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. All right, so we've been going through the whole 3-month process to see how Major League Baseball is going to get back on the field. We are as close as ever now because we've gone absolutely nowhere with negotiations, so we are left with Rob Manfred doing the only thing that he can do, which is implement the 60-game season that he has the power to implement without any sort of agreement whatsoever with the players' union. Here's the weirdness of baseball's saga. So there's a 60-game schedule proposal. It's presented to the union. The union votes it down. Then baseball says, let's vote on the 60-game schedule, and they approve it. So Rob Manfred, who has the power now to implement the 60 games that was agreed to in March, meaning the players get their prorated salary, there is no expanded playoff, there is going to be universal designated hitter, that's the plan. That's the plan moving forward. It will have a spring training that will start in early July, with baseball starting around July 24th or so. Basically, the negotiations went nowhere. Nowhere. 3 months of going back and forth has led to Rob Manfred basically putting together the nuclear option, which is what the owners never really wanted, but the owners get anyway. The owners, of course, they wanted as many pay cuts as they possibly could. The players wanted as many games as possible. The owners didn't want to expand the playoffs into November and December. They wanted to end it on time, if you will, what the normal baseball schedule would be. But the players, they wanted as many games as they could cram in. And instead, what do they get? 60, which is not what really the owners want, which is not really what the players want. So what do we do this for? What did we do this for? So what are we left with? There's some other rippling effects that are through this deal, no deal that Major League Baseball is now going to implement come late July. Whether or not anybody seems to be on board with this plan remains to be seen. But unlike other work stoppages and other controversies, this has got an ending.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. So does it look like we're going to have baseball this season? Maybe. We'll see. It's the best answer I got because I'm not 100% sure. Listen, the news coming out is, okay, let me give you the gentlemanly way these negotiations went. Without all the vitriol, here's how the gentlemanly way would have played out had they been really, really nice to each other. So let's go back to March, okay? So let's get back to March where coronavirus is ripping through the country and the world and all the sports are starting to shut down. And baseball's in the middle of spring training and they have to shut it down. So they come to it, they get together, or at least they get together in the way you got together and said, okay, hi, players. We're obviously going to have to shut down due to the coronavirus. We don't know what our future is going to look like. So can we talk about what it would look like if we were to come back in any shape or form? Sure, we'd love to talk to you about that. What would it look like? Well, obviously, you guys know that chances are fans coming back into the stands is not going to happen. So we're not going to be making any really gate receipts. There's not going to be any revenue coming in from concessions and parking and ticket sales and things like that that we normally need to, you know, pay you guys those big salaries. So we were wondering, is there a way you guys would be interested in taking some pay cuts? Like, we'll give you some proposals through the next couple of months that just include a variety of different game settings with different pay cuts. Maybe we ask you all to take a certain pay cut based on percentage. Maybe we ask the richer of you to take bigger pay cuts than the smaller salaries. We'll see, right? We'll just play this out. And the players are like, all right, that's fine. We'll consider that. Probably not. But you know what? What we're interested in is getting our full pay. And if we could get our full pay, that would be kind of cool for us. So we're going to be sending you back proposals that will include as many games as possible, even though we know you don't have any gate receipts, no merchandising, no commission, no concession stands, and all the other goodies that you need, you know, to pay us our big salaries. Okay, that'll be cool. So you send those proposals to us, and then we'll turn them down. But then we'll continue to send you pay cut proposals on different levels. Is that okay? No, that's okay. Keep sending them our way, and then we'll just keep ramming down your throat more games. Is that going to be good? Can we just do this for a couple of months? Yeah, well, what would happen after a couple of months if neither one of us gets what we want? Like, we don't get more games at a full prorated salary, and you don't get the pay cuts that you're never really going to get in the first place. Well, we have this thing, you know, like where the commissioner has the authority to implement like a 60-game schedule where you guys get your full money, but probably about around 37% of your salary. Is that going to be okay? It's not really going to be okay, but is that the only thing we got? Yeah, it's pretty much the only thing we got. All right, we'll do that. But let's do that as the last possible resort, because we really want to negotiate things we're never really going to agree to. Is that cool? No, that's cool. Just keep sending those proposals our way. We'll keep rejecting them. Is that cool with you? That's cool with me. And they did that for 3 months. And in the end, what did we get? The thing neither one of them wanted. Neither one of them wanted this. Right? The players are going to get 60 games at their full prorated rate, but only 37% of what their contracted salary is. The owners are going to have 60 games with no pay cut by the players that they can use in the next bargaining agreement, collective bargaining agreement, which is due, it's set to expire in December of 2021. So we came to nothing. There is nothing. There is no expanded playoff. There is no, you know, difference of salary structure. There's no nothing. That's it. If Rob Manfred elects to do this, which he got the votes yesterday to do this, this went nowhere. Now, listen, when we had work stoppages before, right, and in the 80s and then 94, the big question was, will players and the owners have been fighting so much, have they basically taken all the goodwill out for the fans? Will the fans return? Will the fans come back? Will the fans embrace them? Well, this is obviously different because we won't know that answer for probably a long time on what level of return to baseball fans are willing to do. Now, will the ratings, for example, of the World Series be any indication of whether or not fans are still ticked off at baseball for putting them through this garbage for the last 3 months? I don't know, because we're in a quarantine sort of need for sports kind of atmosphere, where even if you're sort of mad at both sides for negotiating like this during a quarantine where it was not about safety, it was about divvying up money. I don't know if that's an indication on how people feel about baseball. What's the indication people feel about a sport that puts them through hell, right? Well, what are the turnstiles are going to look like? But we won't know the impact of that until we get a world where full turnstiles are in effect. If you are going to limit Yankee Stadium to, let's say, 25% capacity, I guarantee you, you'll find people who will be willing to go to who are not angry at this. You can probably fill Yankee Stadium with 25% of fans. There's always going to be those group of people that will find, you know, just come on back to my world because I miss you so much. But 100%, well, let's see. But we won't see for a while. This was nasty, it was bitter, and nobody cared, right? Nobody cared. There were no sides to take. There never is when two sides like this are negotiating and talking about money. There's never a sympathy card. You know, I live in a town where there's a General Motors plant, and they went on strike in the fall, and the town was divided. You saw it every day on our Facebook page, our town's Facebook page. where people would point out, you know, the union rejected the latest proposal from GM, or you'd have GM supporters on there say, union, how could you turn that down? It's a great deal. And union families would say, it's not a good deal. You're not reading the details. And our town was split. And this was like the conversation before coronavirus, where I live, it was the big talk. It was the big, you know, and people were taking sides. People never take sides like this when you have a labor union in baseball or football, for that matter, and owners. They never take sides because they don't care. They just want the sport. They just want you to get back to work. And in this case for Major League Baseball, to go through this so publicly, to end up basically where they started in March. Now, the one thing baseball has for it in a way, and this is why going public with all this was a bad move. I mean, look, eventually it was going to. Good reporters were going to uncover what was going on behind the scenes. But they took this out to Twitter. I mean, players were taking this on Twitter and telling the public how insulted they were that there was a pay cut proposal and all of that. And the owners went right to the media as soon as they could, as soon as they were asked. And they had no problem saying to the media, yeah, well, we're trying, but, you know, we don't have any money. And they want all the money. And we're not going to be making any money. And we're just trying to get the sport back as best we possibly can for you. And they did no problems doing that either. So they took this public. And here's what's going to end up happening. They're about going to start when they would have started had they had an agreement in March. Let's say in March, when it was shutting down, and Rob Manfred said, hey, when it's safe to do so, how about we do this? This many games, this salary structure, etc. And the players went, great, we accept it, no problem. And the owners went, really? And the players went, yeah, no problem. When did we think baseball was going to come back? May? Early June? Rob Manfred's 60-game nuclear option starts at the end of July. Give or take a couple of weeks, it's probably where we're about anyway. Which means they went through this public bitterness and negotiations that just gave a terrible look to the sport for nothing. Nothing was really delayed here. Baseball was never going to play in May, maybe June, but really, let's look at this month. Do you think baseball would have come back under these conditions with growing cases around the country? Likely not. So it's July, and it probably would have been July. That's how stupid both of these sides were taking this to the public streets, because you got no support. There was no outcry. It's not going to be a public outcry for millionaire ballplayers. And what's going to be public outcry for billionaire owners? It never happens. It never happens. I've been doing this a long time. I've been through these collective bargaining agreements for all the sports. I've never seen a fan or a caller, listener, debate at the bar stool. I've never seen anybody go, yeah, I'm a player's person on this side. I can't believe the owners are going to screw the players over in this collective bargaining deal. Even in football, where the players kind of get a raw deal in a way, where the no guaranteed contracts, nobody has sympathy. Now, again, going back to my example of where I live and the GM plant, you had legitimate debates because people could see a guy taking care of his family, putting his kid through college, you know, making sure he provides for his, you know, wife and kids and family and all that, against the need for the town to have the plant open, right? The economic viability, because it trickles down into the restaurants and stores that are going on in the city. So you can have a real debate about that. You can have a real union guy versus plant guy in a town like ours, with a town like many others across the country. But when it comes to sports, you never get that. You never, ever get that. Where two people will argue, one side of the players, one side for the owners. You know what they do? They go, oh, this is so dumb. I'm never going back again. That's pretty much the universal feeling. I can't stand this. Shut up and play. And for 3 months, they went through this so publicly to get no expansion of the playoffs. It's not even going to look different. It's a 60-game season. It is a 60-game season where there's going to be a World Series champion at the end of this. I mean, how much stock are you going to put into that? It is 37% of the salaries that those players are going to get. I have no idea what that will mean to a team that, like the Dodgers, that are expected to win the World Series. What if they get off to a terrible start? What if you have a couple of players, star players, get a strain in their foot or whatever injury that usually takes 4 to 6 weeks to heal? What does that means? What are they out for half the year? I mean, it's crazy. It's funny, yeah, because, you know, injuries don't exactly go, you know, proportionally down. It's like, well, that normally took 2 months to heal, but because we're playing a 60-game schedule, we'll see you Thursday. It doesn't work that way. So now we're in a mess. Back square one. Square one. It never, ever improved. It didn't go from, they didn't grow at all. At all. And now the option that neither side really wants is the option we're going to get. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue this morning. All right, coming up, two players in the NBA have said, nah, thanks, I got things to do. I'm not going to Orlando. Now, they're not on teams that are going to be in contention, but they're not exactly slouches either. We'll tell you who that is as we continue on Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we got some Dr. Fauci sound we're going to get to, and we got the two NBA players that have decided not to go to Orlando. Before we do this, I got to tell you, for about 2 years, I've had a chair in my office that might be the worst office chair in the history of office chairs. It's one of those chairs that, like, it lost its hydraulics. So, like, you would put the seat up to secure it, and then it would just eventually slide down.
So was it bad for 2 years?
Yeah, for 2 years. Well, no. It started off good.
It started to get worse.
Right. But it quickly got worse. Like, I can remember, like, within a couple of months, the chair just, like, the hydraulics got lost. So then it's backing, like to lean, you had to really lean back in order to get back supports. If you wanted to sit up straight, it didn't give you any back supports. It was kind of a waste of time. It's like sitting on a stool. It was one of the worst office chairs. I used to have to put a pillow in order to get some back support, and I had to buy a little seat cushion. It's like, instead of getting a new chair, I was like buying accessories for it.
Did you ever get those car beads?
No, I did not.
Those things look so uncomfortable.
I know. I never got into those. Like, I know if my friends have them, some of them, and I'm like, that does it really feel good driving in the car with that? And they're like, yeah. So the other day I was in the store. I was in I think Sam's Club or someplace, and I saw a gaming chair, a video gaming chair. Now, I'm not a video gamer. Like, I don't sit for hours and hours play video games. But my daughter told me, she goes, oh no, Dad, that's the chair you want. I go, I don't know. Does that? She goes, seriously, they are made so that video gamers don't get tired when they have to sit for long periods of time. And I go, oh, really? So I sat in it. It was comfortable. It was nice. Had back support. It was very affordable. And I bought it. It's 1,000 times better. 1,000 times better. So yesterday morning, I said to my wife, I said, that chair is fantastic. She goes, really? I go, it's 1,000 times better than the old chair. I feel more rested, comfortable. I don't feel like my back doesn't hurt. I said, I don't know why I didn't do this sooner. And she goes, yeah, you should have. And then I decided to play a little dangerously. This is where I got a little dangerously. And I said, you know, I kind of think it's your fault. And she goes, what? And I go, well, you know, you always take care of us, and you always tell us what, you know, like, why didn't you tell me to just buy a chair like 2 years ago? Like, you always heard me complain about my chair and how my chair was terrible and I had back problems and I just never was. You never just said, oh, buy a chair. She goes, she started listing all the time she told me to buy a chair. She showed me a text message where she showed me a chair. I just decided to throw the dice and see where that would land. It didn't land well. It didn't land well. Guys, if you're going to call your shot on your wife, accusing your wife of not taking care of you, make sure you don't miss, because I missed by a mile. So I heard about it even yesterday after she got back. So it was one of those long time things where she was proving to me she had always told me to buy a new chair. Get a new chair. Your back deserves it. That's my little thing. So, all right. Trevor Ariza is not going to Orlando. He is opting out. The Portland Trailblazer is opting out because he's kind of in a custody battle with his girlfriend, wife, or ex-wife, whatever, over their son. And he has a 1 month window where he can spend time with his son, and he's going to take it. And that's going to occur during this quarantine NBA season. So he's not going. Okay, that's a legitimate reason. That seems like a reason that if you are given the option to get out of this thing, that's a good reason. Davis Bertans, who is a Washington Wizards forward, he is also not going to Orlando. But here's his reason, and this is interesting. Bertans is one of those players for the Wizards that he was voted most improved. He was a most improved player candidate. He's playing really well. He was playing really well this season. And he is up for one of those big, lucrative, long-term contracts. Now, he did have two ACL injuries during his career. So now, here is what he's weighed. Do I go to Orlando? I'm dealing with these, you know, I've overcome two ACL injuries. I am on the way to a huge contract, a big, finally getting my money that I deserve being in this league. I'm on the cusp of getting that this offseason. The Wizards are not a team that is projected to do anything in this thing. They are there to kind of wrap up the season, maybe get into the tournament, but they're not expected to do much. So he has said, look, the risk of going down there and getting hurt, the risk of going down there and getting the virus, not worth it. This offseason, as soon as we can get to the offseason, I'm about to get paid. So I want to get paid. So I don't want to go. And the Wizards are totally okay with this. They're totally fine with it. They're going to be ones that make the push to sign him and re-sign him to be part of the Wizards. They don't want him down there. They're totally cool. So now these are two players that are, again, we're not talking Giannis, we're not talking LeBron, we're not talking Kawhi, we're not talking those kind of players. But these are two players who have found their own reasons not to go to Orlando and not to be part of this restart. I told you at the beginning, they're not going to be the only ones. Now, we were talking about this yesterday, that there is a lot more concern from these players and executives about what this bubble atmosphere restart is going to be like. Who's coming in and out of the hotel? Who is coming in and out of this experiment that are not going to get tested on a daily basis? How much of the player is going to be at risk? When you leave, when you come back, if you have to leave for whatever reason, you come back, you're quarantined. What are the testing mechanisms to make sure that when you do come, let's say your mother is sick and you get to go visit her, but you have to be a 10-day quarantined when you come back. What is that going to look like? All of these questions that the players have got since, you know, being in this, going to be going into this bubble to play, You know that there's going to be some players that are going to deal with the same thing that Davis Bertans is dealing with, which is, hey, am I heading into an off season where I'm going to get paid? Do I want to do this? What if I get hurt? What if I get the virus? How will that affect my negotiation power? Right? What if I get the virus and I'm out this off season and it takes me weeks to overcome this? I lose weight. I'm weak. All of a sudden I go to the bargaining table. I'm not the same player that I was when I just self-quarantined. So there's a lot of these conversations. Now, I think there's going to be Trevor Ariza's example of, look, there's a family matter I'm dealing with. There's a window to see my son. I want to see my son. I don't want to miss that window because I'm not going to get it when, you know, it's not negotiable, and it's falling on the calendar. It's not a good time. Now, I don't think that exact reason is going to be available or around for a lot of other players, but things similar to that, of course, are going to be there. So they're not the first, they're not the only two that are going to decide not to go to Orlando. I'm interested to see where it goes before they actually do restart. All right, so Anthony Fauci was on a radio station in New York City talking about the different sports and the comebacks of the different sports. Now, the NBA being in this bubble at Disney World, we've been dealing with showing you all the details where they're going to stay, some of the risks that they're trying to avert while they're down there. Here's Dr. Fauci again on ESPN New York talking about the NBA. Can it succeed in the bubble?
The only thing is you bubble the players. But when you're in an area where there's so much infection going on, you know, the players would have some kind of interaction with outside people. Somebody has to take care of them. People need to serve them meals and things like that. I know that there's a good degree of safety around that because I've heard of the plans, and I've even publicly said that they sound like they're really good and well thought out and have been essentially planned to be implemented with a good degree of care. But certainly you would rather have it in a place where there is not a lot of activity. Hopefully the Flores situation can get under control pretty quickly, but it certainly is concerning what is going on in Florida right now.
All right, so how does it happen where it gets under control quickly? What exactly is he talking about? A re-shutdown of the state? When you say that, like, hopefully it gets under control quickly, we can round up everybody that's got this and put them in an island somewhere so the NBA can play in Orlando?
What are we talking about? You could be like the governor of Texas yesterday made announcements like, yeah, you know, the spreading of coronavirus is getting radically out of control. We need to do something to corral it.
Corral it?
Yeah.
That's a nice term.
This is a nice Texan term.
Yeah.
But that's all he said.
Herd everybody into a pen?
But that's all he said. There was no plan. There's no action. There was no, hey, this is what I have in mind. It was like, we need to corral it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, great.
What?
How?
Exactly. Exactly. Here's Dr. Fauci again, courtesy of ESPN New York, about the NFL.
We're talking about the safety of players and the safety of the people who are the spectators and comments that I've made when people have asked me specific questions about the various sports and I've given my advice. It has gotten taken out of context, particularly with regard to the NFL, saying that I think we shouldn't have an NFL season, which is really not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that each different sport, depending upon the season, depending on indoor, outdoor, depending on the amount of contact, will have different risks when you're talking about what you need to do to mitigate the risks, both to the players, which is obviously very important, their safety is critical, as well as whether and how you're going to have spectators.
So, I mean, to me, the NFL is the one thing that I'm looking at saying, how are you going to play? Like, you had all of this time where you weren't in any sort of action, right? You didn't have to try to restart your season. You didn't have to try to come up with a quick plan. You had a lot of time. You did your draft virtual. It went great. Everything was fine. You kind of canceled mini camps, all of those things. But now when you get to training camp, what exactly will be the proposal by the league to sort of go through that? What will it look like on the field, right? What will it look? There's no bubble. They don't plan to have a bubble. They're not playing all of their games and, you know, down in Miami, right? I mean, they're not quarantining players in some other place like Las Vegas. You go to Kansas City to play, and then you travel back to your home. Then you go to Dallas to play, and you travel back to your city. Whatever it may be, it's supposed to look exactly like the regular season is going to look. No adjustments of the schedule. Like, the Patriots are not just going to play northeastern teams, so they rearrange the schedule. So they add, like, Philadelphia and the Giants to their schedule, you know, or they play maybe Pittsburgh, and then the West Coast teams play just the West Coast teams. That's not going to happen. The same schedule that they normally would have given you is the same schedule they're going to play. But what are the changes? Besides no fans in the stands, what is going to be the changes? That's what I'm interested in. All right, not to be outdone, here's Dr. Fauci again on ESPN New York talking about Major League Baseball playing into October.
What I'm saying is that if, and that's what never got printed in the comments, if in fact, and I hope we don't, if you have a substantial outbreak, so-called a second wave in the fall, overall, the danger and the risk of penetrating through the shield that you're trying to put around this when you go becomes greater. That doesn't mean you shouldn't play in October. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have a World Series.
So what is he saying? He's saying now that if there's a second wave that could be so powerful, it could penetrate whatever safety measures.
Yeah, the shield that you put up around, I guess, you know, it'll penetrate the bubble.
What is it going to be like for us at home when we're in our house? Are we going to look outside and just see the quarantine forces trying to invade our home?
You'll see, it'll be like a thick fog.
Right.
You'll see it coming.
Quick, kids, put towels underneath the door. Prevent it from coming in.
I mean, I guess
so ominous. This is,
I know.
It's so scary when he talks about this thing.
I wish there was a clear. Can't someone just jump in the future real quick and say, hey, this is what happened? So we have an idea.
Yeah.
This is part of the story. When you're reading a book that you're kind of reading and you're going, you know what? I'm just going to skip to the end real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to see how this thing turns out. Do I want to continue watching? Do I want to continue reading this? No. This is kind of scary.
No wonder nobody really likes listening to that guy, because he's always just like, yeah, you can do it, but why bother? It's like, really? It's kind of like, oh, I thought we were heading in the right direction, but I guess this new wave will just destroy anything that it puts in its path. Thanks, Dr. Fauci. I appreciate it. But he is an epidemiologist, so we do have to listen to him rather than going to go with our own gut feeling. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Glad you can be with us. It's Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Michael on Twitter, is this the final straw to stop listening to Anthony Fauci? Maybe. I don't know. What does he really say, though? Like, what does he say? It could work, but maybe not. I just feel like that's what he says.
Yeah.
He never says like, oh, no, guys, what you really need to do is this. Hey, baseball, let me see that plan for a second. No, don't do this. If you do this, it'll work out great.
He never gives that definitive, this is going to happen, answer that we're all, I mean, because he's, like I said, we need someone to just jump into Doc Brown's time machine, go 5 months into the future and just say, how does this play out?
Yeah, exactly. Now, am I being too, like, am I asking him to do something he's not equipped to do? Meaning, is his job to tell me or to tell baseball or basketball or football how to do business? Or is he just the guy that goes, this is how a virus works. It's up to you what you want to do. But this is my field is viruses and containing them. And this is what I'm going to tell you. But your plan is your plan. I can't do your plan for you. But I can tell you what I think of it. Am I asking too much of this guy? Because he seems to be the leading expert that everybody wants to run to, but he doesn't say anything. He doesn't really do it. He doesn't really say anything that's constructive. It's always like, well, the World Series in October would be awesome, except for that second wave that could destroy it all. Well, I could say that. I mean, I'm not an epidemiologist, and I could say that. So I never feel like he gives me any sort of reason to go, oh, Dr. Fauci said it, so therefore I'm very confident it's going to work. He's like, it could work, it could fail, we'll see. It all depends on the virus, which is basically where everybody is in the first place.